Amen. Well, some of you are saying amen out there. Sounds like maybe you experienced some of that grace.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. Say, well, what's so exciting about grace, preacher? Well, I don't have enough time to tell you, but I'll tell you this.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing
amen.
To experience the grace of God.
Amen.
What is grace?
Amen.
Well, grace is a lot of things. It's God given to you and I what we really don't deserve.
Right.
It's just, you know, when you get to thinking about it, all that we are and all that we have is by the grace of God.
Amen.
And the very best of us. You say, well, you know, I'm not much. Well, I'm not either, but I am what I am by the grace of God.
Amen.
And I will guarantee you this, anything good you see in me, it's God's grace.
Amen.
It's God's grace.
Right.
And so I'm thankful for the grace of God.
Well,
you have your Bibles open to James chapter 4, and I told you last week that what we were going to do in the next few Sunday mornings, we're going to talk about our enemy. And I tell you right now, when I made that announcement, the enemy, he's been after me. How about you? So, well, the enemy's not bothering me too much. Well, you need to get to doing something for the kingdom.
Amen.
You start doing something for the kingdom, the enemy's going to show up. But don't let that intimidate you now. Don't let that intimidate you, because greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. You do not have to live a defeated life. Are you listening? You do not have to live a sad sack, Eeyore mentality. Woe is me. I can't do this. I'm defeated. Hey, you don't have to live that kind of life. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have those moments in life. We all have some moments in life. All right? We all have some times when we struggle. Every one of us. Every one of us. And there's not a one of us that hasn't been in the valley.
Amen.
All right? There's not a one of us that hasn't been in a place to where we wish we wouldn't have gotten ourselves into. And by the way, if you've got there, it's because you got yourself there. All right? And so I want to talk to you about the enemy that's persistent. I mean, he just keeps coming. Right? I mean, the enemy. And he's been after me this week. How about you? If you're saved, whether you realize it or not, the devil's after you. Now, if you're not saved, he's already got you. But the common goal is, whether he's got you or he's after you, the common goal is to destroy you. All right? The thief, that's our enemy, old Satan. You listening? Apollyon, you know who that is? Abaddon, Beelzebub. You listening? The accuser of the brethren. The tempter, old Slewfoot, the old dragon. He goes by many names in this book. The devil, the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, the ruler of darkness. He's real. And now, preacher, I don't believe he's real. Well, he's already got you. When I speak of the devil, I'm not talking about some joker in a Halloween costume with a red suit on and a long tail and a pitchfork and a couple of horns in his head. I'm talking about a spiritual creature that's an angel that has fallen from heaven who leads a kingdom. Listen to me now. Who has an army. And they're all at his beckoning call to do his devious deeds, to try to do everything he can to tear down the kingdom of God and the work of God and the church of God and the word of God and all that God is doing. The devil, the enemy, is out to get you. He's out to destroy your home.
Yeah.
Hear me now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, well, now, preacher, it's this that's destroying it. It's that that's destroying it. It's the other that's destroying it. It's the devil behind every bit of it.
Right.
Every bit of it.
Yeah.
I remember when Peter stood before Jesus, and Jesus said, I'm going to the cross, boys. I'm headed to Calvary. And Peter said, oh, no. He said, be it far from thee, Lord. He said, you're not going to the cross. And Jesus looked Peter right in the face, and he didn't speak to Peter. He spoke to Satan that put that thought in his mind, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. That's the enemy. Say, preacher, sometimes I have some thoughts, and it really scares me, some of the thoughts I have. That's the enemy. Sometimes I get so angry and I get so mad. And preacher, I don't know. I mean, I see them and I get a little afraid. That's the enemy.
Yeah.
Hear me now.
Right.
The enemy.
Yeah.
I've done some things that I'm ashamed of, and I've done some things, preacher, that's uncharacteristic, and I just know that God's not pleased with it. That's the enemy. Now, you're responsible for what you do, but it's the enemy that's driving. It's the enemy that's sowing those seeds. It's the enemy that's planting those seeds and driving the force behind what you and I do that are against the will of God and the kingdom of God and the word of God. Here, James, he begins to tell us some things. He's writing to a group of believers. I believe they were Jewish people that had gotten saved and they were scattered and under persecution. And he said, listen, he said, there's some things that you've allowed to creep into your life. And he said, yeah, I don't know that you fully understand about this enemy that you have. And I want to go on record today and say that I believe there's a lot of Christians sitting in good Bible-believing churches, good folks now, but they really don't understand the level that the enemy is on when he comes after them. I want you to understand something. You're no match for the devil. I remember one time when a young fella preached for me many years ago, good guy, and he kind of rolled up his sleeves like, come on, where's the devil? Where's the devil? And I thought, whoa, man, you better slow down. You don't understand what you're doing. You don't want to fight the devil on your own. If you're going to fight the devil, you need to get on your knees and get God involved. And we're going to talk about that. So what about this enemy? I'm going to give you some scripture, and I want you to write down some scripture. Do that right now, would you? I want you to look at these scripture. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, in verse number 11, that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. So the devil has devices. If you remember last week, we talked about some of those out of the book of Nehemiah. We talked about the device of derision, mockery, ridicule, discouragement, danger, discord, distraction, defamation. The devil wants to assassinate your character. So be careful. Amen. Be careful. Dismay, fear, deception. I thought about this, and I read something that was very interesting. It really got the wheels of my mind turning when the scripture says, over in Ephesians chapter number 6, when the Apostle Paul, right into that church there, when he said, you know, put on the whole armor of God, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. When he began to talk about the devils that are in this army that Satan himself heads up in a spiritual warfare that every one of us are in. Every one of us. Saying that, preacher, I don't believe I'm in no spiritual warfare. Well, you listen, if you're saved in the grace of God, you're in a spiritual warfare. You're in a spiritual warfare. And I thought about all of those things, the spiritual wickedness and the rulers of the darkness in this world, the devices of the devil. Then I thought about the day in which we live. Can I tell you, I'm talking to people that are absolutely filled with fear. This is not in their imagination. All right? It's real. And I want to say something to somebody either in this building or watching by live stream today. Fear is a work of the devil. Man. Now, there's a right kind, and we heard it good yesterday from Brother Davey. Brother Davey, I appreciate that. There is a fear of the Lord. But there's also a fear of Satan. And that fear, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, that God hath not given unto us. It didn't say fear. It said the spirit of fear. See, I believe there's a devil of fear. And God, listen, and God will give you power, and God will give me power to overcome that fear. But we need to draw from the resources that God has given, because the devil has crippled many, many people with fear. People are afraid of everything. Fear. Fear. Don't let fear cripple you. Don't let fear cripple you. Rise up. Every time that God was getting ready to do something through Joshua, through Moses, for the children of Israel, he said, be not afraid. Be of good courage. Right? Don't let fear stop you from serving God. Don't let fear stop you from stepping out by faith and doing what God has called you and I to do. But fear will do it. Fear will make you conservative. And I don't mean politically speaking. Fear will make you, you know, weigh out everything and have to have it in paper and have to have it in writing and have to have it in sight. But I'm going to tell you what the Spirit of God will do. He'll help you step out by faith. And He'll help you stand on the promises of this book, whether you understand them or not. Don't let fear govern your life. It's a very, very, very important thing. So there's devices. We're not ignorant. You write that verse down, 2 Corinthians 2:11. And then the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse number 12, it talks about the wiles of the devil. What an interesting word. W-I-L-E-S, the wiles of the devil. Just means systematic strategy. That's what the wiles of the devil. The devil has a strategy. He's not haphazard like a lot of professing Christians. He has a strategy. He has structure. He's coming after you. And he'll find a chink in your armor. He'll find a weakness in your life. Hear me. And he'll just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. The wiles of the devil. Did you write that verse down? And then there's 2 Timothy 2:26. It talks about the snare of the devil. Now, here's three things that we really need to be aware of. The devil has devices, and they're at his disposal to use against us in this warfare. The devil has a strategy, the wiles of the devil. And through his devices, and by his strategy, he wants to get you in a snare to where you will be trapped. And you will lose that freedom and that liberty that comes from walking in the Spirit that Jesus has set you free from. And that's real. There's a lot of Christians been set free, but they're walking around in bonds and fetters and chains because the enemy got them. But I hope you'll get set free today. If you'll listen, you can be. You know what James is doing here? Look at it with me. Look at the Bible. He starts back in verse number 14 of chapter 3. Really, he starts on back from that. I got a little ahead of myself. Look at verse 7. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, and I have this word I want you to underline, therefore. So here's what the apostle James is getting ready to do. He said, I want to give you a strategy. The devil has a strategy. The wiles of the devil, he has a strategy. James said, now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, I want to pin down a strategy for every believer. So I trust you'll write this strategy down today. He says, submit yourselves, therefore. Because of what I have just said, I want you to submit yourselves. He said, I'm going to give you a strategy. A strategy for what? If you'll go back to chapter, really all the way back, but we'll just start in chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14, he mentions bitter envying. You see that? Bitter envying, strife in your hearts. He said, glory not. People full of pride. Look at me. Look what I've done. He said, hey, hold it. You're messing up now. Glory not. Look what else he said in verse number 14. Lie not. See these things that can creep into believers' lives? The devil has been given place, and they can get in your life, they can get in my life, and they give place to the devil. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. He said, where envy and strife, chapter 3, verse 16, where envy and strife is, there is confusion. We know that God's not the author of confusion. There's confusion, and look at it, evil work. He said in the latter part of verse number 17, he speaks of partiality, hypocrisy. And then in chapter 4, verse number 1, he talks about wars and fightings. Look at it. Among you, the brethren. See, the devil divides and conquers. The devil has an army, but can I tell you, God has an army too. And the church, like a mighty army, ought to be marching forward. But the church is too busy fighting among themselves. to really gain ground on the enemy. He said, there's fightings and there's wars among you. Look at what he said. He mentions lust in verse number 2. And then he talks about prayerlessness. He said, because the latter part of verse number 2, what? Because you ask not. You're not praying. Hey, you'll never have a strategy that'll defeat the devil if you're not praying. Hey, please listen to me. Hey, I said you'll never have a strategy that'll defeat the enemy if you're not praying. The devil will do everything that he can to keep you and I from praying. Everything he can. Why? Because he knows that's where it's at, brethren. That's where it's at. Look what else he mentioned. He said, not only is there prayerlessness, there's selfishness. When you do pray, you pray that you may consume it upon your lust. Selfish praying. He mentioned some things here. He talks about friendship in verse number 4 with the world, being enmity with God. Spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. People that say they're saved and live like the world. He said, listen, he said, the enemy's got you. Then notice in verse number 5, he said, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? People living in the flesh and not the spirit. Wrestling against God's will. Wrestling against God's word. Wrestling against what God wants them to do in life. And he said, now, I want to give you a strategy. He said, the devil's gotten in. And the devil has these things going on. You say, now, wait a minute, preacher. What about us that don't believe in the devil? Well, I just ask you to take a quick glance at the news this evening. And you come back to the service tonight and let me know how that works out for you. You think that it's just common that people will kill innocent children and call it abortion? You think that God made man in his own image to do that? You think man does that in his own self? Can I tell you the devil's behind abortion? You can all say amen with me. I said the devil's behind murder. And that's what abortion is. It's murder. The devil's behind divorce. Now you say, well, preacher, I've been divorced. And listen, that doesn't make you a second-class citizen. That doesn't even make you a second-class Christian. God loves people who's been divorced. Can I go in this and say that God loves people who's had an abortion? Oh, no, wait a minute, preacher. I don't believe that. But if you believe that God so loved the world, you will.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't say because it's wrong that God doesn't love you. I'm glad God didn't quit loving me when I was doing wrong. And I'm glad He still doesn't quit loving me when I do wrong. See, God loves you whether you do right or wrong. But we're not talking about if God loves you. We're talking about you having some victory in your life. Some purpose in your life. Some passion in your life. Some fellowship with the God of heaven. Something that's real. Something that'll get you through this old low land of sorrow with a smile on your face and joy in your heart. Victory. Victory. Folks living in bondage, listen, you're living in a place that God never intended His saints to live. That's where the devil's got you. God never got you there. The scripture says here, all of these things have crept in. And the devil's using them as his devices. He's using them as his strategy. He's using them as his snare to keep you and I from reaching the full possibility and potential that God has for us as His children. It can happen to any of us, brethren. So, and I don't believe in it, the devil, preacher. Well, now, you mean to tell me that people just want to blow each other up? God made man in His image, and we just want to blow people up? You don't think that's natural, do you? You don't think that's natural, do you? That somebody just walk into a public arena and start mowing down people with high-powered weaponry, just mow down people they've never met in their life. You don't think that's natural, do you? That's supernatural. That's the devil. You don't think people just choose to do the things they do, take their own life. Listen to me. Hear me. God made man in His own image with a will to live. You don't think that the suicide rate is out of the ceiling among our young people today as I stand before you because there's no devil, do you? See, the devil's behind that. The devil will tell you you have nothing else to live for. The devil will tell you there's no hope, no hope, no help in this life. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus said there is hope.
Amen.
There is help.
Amen.
Don't you listen to him.
Amen.
Don't you listen to the devil.
Right.
He's a liar and the father of lies. Yes, there's a devil. If there's a God, there's a devil. If there's good, there's evil. If there's light, there's darkness. If there's a right way, there's a wrong way. But I'm not going to spend my time trying to convince you there's a devil. I don't think I have to. Open your eyes. Look around you. Well, look at you. You could look around you, but you might get a better understanding that there's a devil when you just look in the mirror. Think of some things you've thought. Think of some things you've said. Think of some things you've done. And yes, even as a believer, it's the enemy. Before I go any further, I want to make one final statement. Then I'm going to dissect a few words for you that I hope will help you in the strategy. I want you to know something. When I was a teenager growing up, I had a shirt. Oh, it was cool. Well, actually, I was a teenager. And the shirt said this. It was popular. The devil made me do it. Now, some of you are not old enough to remember those shirts. Oh, I was so cool. Man, I wore it, Brother Brian. I'd wear it till it got dirty, and I'd wash it and wear it again. The devil made me do it. Can I tell you, the devil's never made you do anything. The devil never made me do anything. The devil can't make you do it, and God won't make you do it. See, God made you and I free moral agents. He made us people of choice. You know how much I sinned yesterday? As much as I chose to. Oh, I don't like that, preacher. Yeah, I know we don't like that, but it's the truth. We do what we choose to do. God, listen, if I can choose to be saved, and I can, I'm not saved because God, listen, put irresistible grace on me. You listen to me now. I'm not saved because of God's irresistible grace. I'm saved by grace, but I'm saved by a choice to exercise faith in the grace of God and be saved. God made us people of choice. And so please don't leave here and say, well, that's it, you know, the devil's our enemy and the devil's powerful and the devil made me do it and so I can't help it. I guess I'll just live in sin all my life. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. What can we do? Let's look at our strategy. Verse number 7, submit yourselves. Now this is where it starts. You say, well, I want to fight, preacher. I like a good fight. Well, we'll get to the fight in a minute. But if you don't submit before you resist, you're going to lose every time. See, some folks just get right into verse 7. Look at it now. I'm telling you, hey, look at the latter part of verse number 7. Resist the devil. See, a lot of folks start right there. That's why you lose every time. Where's the devil? Where's the devil? Bring him on. I'm ready for a fight. I'm ready for a fight. You're going to lose what you're going to do. You better submit yourself not just to your preacher, not just to your parent, not just to your authority as far as man's concerned. The Bible says right here, James said, hey, I've got a strategy. Submit yourselves therefore because of all that I've said. Because there is an enemy. Because he wants to destroy your life. Because he wants to take you down. Because he's coming after your family. He's coming after your home. He's coming after your marriage. He's coming after your church. Listen to me now. Because he's real, you better submit yourself to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. What do you mean, submit? Look the word up. This is what it means. Very simple. It's a military term. It means under rank, to voluntarily, conscientiously, deliberately, through a definite act, to put oneself under authority. So if God's going to have to pin me down before I'll submit to him, then it's not going to happen. This is a volunteer action. You are to submit your... Same word that's used in Ephesians 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Volunteer action. Some man sitting here saying, well, I'm going to make it. Yep, you're messing up. It's a volunteer action that the Spirit of God will lead us to do. And so the Spirit of God's leading me to submit. Now the question is, am I going to bring myself under the authority of God's Word? Submit yourselves. That's the first statement. That's the first act. Have you submitted? I wish it was a one-time deal, don't you? Say, well, preacher, I submitted back when I got saved back in 1960. I hope you've done it since then. Amen. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present, listen to me now, there's our word, that you present, that you submit, that you lay your life on the altar of God. My question today is your life on the altar. Have you submitted yourself unto God? Have you laid your life on the altar and said, God, I'm yours. I yield myself to you. God, best I know how, I bring myself to you in humble faith and ask you to guide my life and to lead me in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. When's the last time you've done that? Is your life on the altar? Maybe I should ask, is your life off the altar? If it is, can I encourage you this morning to get it back on the altar? Submit yourself to God and get your life back on the altar and say, God, I'm yours. I've submitted my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, God. It's just my reasonable service. Right? Submit. Number two. And here's a word we're going to spend a little time on. Resist. What do you know about resistance? Got anybody in here that's ever been arrested for resisting arrest? Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. Hey, man. For the sake of those watching, nobody raise your hand. You know what it is to resist. I looked the word up, Joe, just so we could get a good view of what God is saying here. See, sometimes we read words, and I don't think we get the full scope of what God is saying. Submit. It's a military term. Resist. Resist. It's a fighting term. It means this, to stand against, to withstand. Paul actually used that word in Ephesians chapter 6. To oppose, to battle, to fight, to turn from. Resist. We've probably got some folks in here that's resisted their parents before. Resisted maybe a teacher before. Maybe a foreman or a supervisor on the job. Maybe a preacher or Sunday school teacher. You've resisted. Can I tell you that Peter stood up, Stephen stood up in Acts chapter number 7, and he told that religious crowd that he was preaching to, he said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. They opposed him. They fought against what God wanted. Did you know God does some resisting? Look, if you would, in verse number 6 of James chapter 4. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud. See, God turns from the proud. Remember, that's what one of the word means. One of the definitions for resist means turn from. You don't want to get in a fight with God. God turns from the proud. We need to humble ourselves and say, and submit ourselves and say, God, I need your help. I'm in a battle that I can't win without your help, Lord. Can I tell you we all are? Look right up here at me now. Don't let the devil, listen, he's at work. I know what's going on. Listen, I've preached about this old rascal many times, and I know what he tries to do when somebody's preaching about him. He tries to deter and deflect, distract. He's a real cunning somebody. Just give me about 5 or 10 more minutes of your attention, and I believe God will give you a good strategy here. Number one, submit. I'm asking you, just plain, listen, just straightforward, face to face here. Have you submitted? Are you submitted? Is your life on the altar? Is there anything in your life that you're holding back from God? If there is, you're going to fall. You might not lose every battle, but you're not going to win the big ones. Please listen to me. A strategy for victory. Submit. Number two, resist. Resist. Resist who, preacher? Look what he said in verse number 7. Resist. Not the president. Say, I don't like the president. Well, the Bible didn't say resist him. And just, I'll go on record. He's not, I certainly didn't vote for him. I wouldn't walk across the street and vote for him. Say, I don't like him. Well, we can still be friends, I think. I don't have anything to hide. Listen, black's black and white's white. I'm not afraid to discuss issues. I'm not running into hiding. They're not going to cower this preacher down. You listening to me? I hope to God they won't cower you down.
Man.
Don't you let them cower you down now. They're trying to take Mr. Potato Head. I'm very upset.
Right. Yeah.
Coming after Dr. Seuss. Bunch of sorry rascals. Man, they hit me where it hurts now. Listen, don't you back down on what you believe and where you stand. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to weaken you and shut you up. Don't you let that happen. Resist the devil. Look at it again. If you're not careful, you'll be fighting Washington. That's not our fight. If I'm not questioned, if I'm not careful, I'll be fighting the liberal media. That's not my fight. Though there are times where I'll stand against both. My fight is not flesh and blood. Hear me now. He didn't say resist this and that. He said there's one thing that you and I need to resist in this strategy. That's the devil. The devil. Resist the devil. If we're not careful, we'll be resisting everything that represents the devil. And I'm not saying don't take a stand against it, but don't forget who's behind it all. We have an enemy that's unseen. We have an enemy at work. We have an enemy with an army that is, listen, trying everything he can to tear down what you and I are doing for the glory of God. Resist the devil. What do you mean resisting, preacher? Fight. Fight. Resist him. How do I do that? How do I fight an unseen foe? How do I fight a kingdom that I cannot see? Preacher, I want to fight him. I need to fight him. If I'm going to win, I must fight him. Why am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? Well, let's look at what the Bible says. Listen carefully to me now. Write these verses down. Matthew chapter 4. This old enemy went to Jesus. Listen, you talking about a cocky somebody. Are you listening? You say, I have you to know I've been in church for 55 years. The devil won't come after me. He came after your Savior. He's coming after you.
Amen.
Hear me now. I memorize scripture, preacher, and I'm glad for all of you that do. I try to do it. Amen. I'm glad. Preacher, I pray. I have a prayer closet. I have a time when I go to God in prayer. I read my Bible, preacher. I'm glad you do. But he went after Jesus. He's coming after you.
Amen.
Don't you forget that now. He did come after Jesus. And you know about the temptation in the wilderness. How did Jesus resist him? It is written.
Amen. Amen.
You get in this book and you get this book in you. And every time he comes, you quote scripture to that old rascal. Use the word of God. Tell him what the book says. Amen. Tell him what the book says. You say, preacher, does the book have authority? I'm glad to report to you this morning that the Word of God has never lost its power. It's just as powerful today as it ever has been. The Word of God is all powerful, amen. There's nothing that can outdo the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets the job done. You get that book out and you begin to quote those scriptures. You begin to read the Word of God and the devil will flee from you.
Right.
Say, well, that's all I've got to do. Well, now, wait a minute. That's not all the scripture says to do to resist him. That's Matthew 4. Did you write it down? Ephesians 6. The Bible says this. Wherefore, put on the whole armor of God. Now, Jesus said, quote the word. Paul said, put on the armor. Amen. Put on the armor. Taking to you the whole armor of God. Listen to me now. The enemy's at work. The enemy's at work. Get your mind. Listen, stay focused. Giving you a strategy. Resist. Resist. Use the word of God. Put on the whole armor. We're going to talk about that in services coming up. Go to Ephesians 6. Look at the armory. Look at that armor that God's given. Defensive armory. But then listen, there's that offensive weapon of the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then there's prayer. Amen. So put on the armor. That's what Paul said. You know what? You know what Peter said? 1 Peter chapter 5, he said, humble yourself. Listen, you and I are neither one going to defeat the devil with a heart full of pride. Peter put it this way in chapter 5. He said, you need to clothe yourself in humility. How humble are you? So, well, I'm real humble, preacher. Oh, I see. You are humble, aren't you? You humble? So, well, preacher, I'm humble. And I'm being serious. I'm humble, preacher. Well, let's see. Let's do a quick test and then we'll move on. Bring this to a close. Did you enter your day without asking for God's help any last week? If you did, you're not as humble as you think you are. You're pretty proud of yourself. Did you get in God's Word and get some instruction for the day, or did you just go on through the day thinking, I've got this? If you did, you're not as humble as you think you are. Did you ever one time get on your knee and say, God, I need you. I can't do this without you. I have some important decisions to make today. I'm going to face some things today, and without your help, I'm afraid I'm going to mess up. Now, if you didn't, you're probably not as humble as you think you are. See, we can make ourselves believe that we're humble when our actions say differently. And I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying do some self-inspection. So, Jesus said, resist him through the word. Paul said in Ephesians 6, resist him by the armor. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, resist him through the spirit of humility. John said in 1 John chapter 3, do it through living a clean, holy life. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. John also said in Revelation chapter 12, write it down, verse 10 and 11, he said they overcame the devil now. They overcame him through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. They counted not their lives precious unto death. See, they overcame. So these are ways that we can overcome. All right? And then here James said, resist. So don't just leave here and say, I'm going to submit and resist, I'm going to have victory. Well, here's a strategy. Submit. Resist. Resist. Use the word. Use the armor. Use humility. Right? Use your testimony. Live for God. Then what, preacher? This is where I'll close. He said, if you'll do that, what's verse number 7, the last phrase say there? He might flee from you. That's not what it says. He said, he will. Well, say, I submitted and I resisted and he fled and I'm free. Well, if you'll look carefully, when Jesus was being tempted, the Bible says that after Jesus quoted the word to him, the devil left him for a little season. He's coming back. And he did. Read the life of Jesus. He did. And he's coming back to you too. He's coming back to me. Why? He's persistent. He's persistent. So please keep that in mind. Well, now that I've done that, preacher, am I guaranteed? There's one final step now. Submit. Resist. Look at verse number 8. Draw nigh. You draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Preacher, how did you draw nigh? Well, let's let James tell us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Confess your sin. You want to get close to God? Confess your sin. You'll never get close to God. You'll never be able to submit. You'll never draw nigh to God without confessing your sin. You confess your sin, or do you cover it? So when nobody knows about it, preacher, God does. God knows about your sin. You're not confessing to man. You're confessing to God. Confess your sins. Cleanse your hands, verse number 8, you sinners. Purify your hearts. I believe that's talking about your motives and your thoughts. Right? Yeah. He said you need to clean up. You need to deal with sin very thoroughly. I want you to stand up to your feet for a moment. Now I'm going to ask the parents to come. I want to ask you a question. If you'll look at that verse number 9 sometime, you'll find where Peter's saying, or James rather, he's saying, you know, there ought to be mourning and affliction. There ought to be sadness. Can I tell you that we live in a generation that really just takes sin real lightly? We just kind of deal with sin cavalier and casually, like, oh, well, you know, I did it. I'm sorry. Huh? You need to read that again. James said, you'll never have victory over the devil dealing with sin that way. Never. Never. When you sin against God, you might take it lightly, but I want to remind each one of us, and I'm at the top of this list, God doesn't. We may take sin lightly, but God doesn't. So how am I going to have victory? As the pianist begins to play, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. You've got to get a strategy. It's not going to just happen. So I think I'm just going to continue to come into church and I'm going to have victory, preacher. Well, now that's not going to work. You need to get a strategy. The devil has one. The devil has a strategy to bring you down. And you and I, as God's children, need to get a strategy to stand firm. Submit. Submit yourselves. Bring yourself under the authority of God's word. Number two, resist. Fight. Don't give in. Use God's word. Put on the whole armor of God. Draw nigh. Confess your sin. Say, preacher, I don't have any sin to confess. Really? Our problem is we think sin is smoking and drinking and cursing. I wonder how many people you witnessed to last week, mister. See, we stand in our pride and we say, oh boy, I'm a great Christian. You try to get anybody to Jesus last week, you might want to reevaluate yourself. See, we think we're all that because we don't smoke a cigarette or burn a joint or snort a line or take a shot of whiskey. I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad you don't do that. But God's just as concerned about what we don't do that we should as what we do that we shouldn't. And I sure hope to God that I and you and none of us would get to the place where we think being a good Christian is what we don't do. We ought to be clean. We ought to live right. But we ought to go after souls and we ought to try to help people and minister to people and love people and care for people and be there for them. So that's part of being a Christian too. And so God help us. There's Christians praying at the altar. If God spoke to your heart, I want to encourage you to pray.